Let's go ahead and open our Bibles tonight back up to Ephesians 1. Back into these sweet times we get together, the masterpiece of grace in Ephesians. In last study, we saw how Paul, in verses 3 through 14, thanks be to God, he was speaking to us. I take it personally. How about you? Amen. And I thank the Lord for what he has brought to us to know who and what we are in Christ and what we are in him and blessed with all spiritual blessings in him before the foundation of the world. And by the grace of God being those of us with Paul, that grace and mercy, brothers and sisters, has caused us to have what is known as enlightened eyes of understanding. It says in the Word of God, without a vision, the people perish. I thank God we see. With what he's caused our eyes to see and our hearts to love and our ears to hear, we pursue him. As he pursues us and has pursued us in beginning, we now are in love as the Shulamite pursuing him. And oh, what a love match it is. We're of those that have understanding. Thanks be to God, because of this grace we know. And we're alive. We're alive in this all grace. Them which are alive and remain. Amen. Those will be the ones that will be caught up together in the clouds. Praise the Lord. Alive and remaining. They're quickened in heart. They're abiding in first love. They're anticipating. Praise God. He's coming today. He's coming today. If he doesn't come today, he's coming tomorrow. And I thank the Lord. I know that because he loves us like that. And he wants to come today more than we want him to come today. But his Father is the determiner of that. The Word of God tells us. And what a wondrous, romantic knowing is the only thing our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, our soon coming bridegroom, does not know, is the moment that his Father will turn to him and say, "Son, go call to your bride." What a God. What a love story. I mean, we're talking about Jesus Christ, by him, whom, for him, all things were made, created. But yet all of those things, as we understand this word, all of those things were created for us in him. So all of that he was called to do, all of that he was, again, ordered of his Father, and that was, again, he's very God of very God. All of that plan he was bringing forth was for us. The focal of it all. And it's for his love and his first love and his goodly pearl and his desire and ecstasy. And yet the only thing that very God of very God does not know is the moment that he will be told by his Father, "Call your bride to you, son." Praise God. Thank the Lord. I know what he feels like, and he knows what I feel like. I thank the Lord. We want to see one another real bad. Praise his name. Now, this is wonderful because it's alive in these saints. It's alive, this all grace. It's not something that's too far-fetched. Grace is that powerful. Grace, praise God, will have me ruling and reigning jointly together with Jesus Christ. His grace, praise God, will have me glorified together with him. That's not hard for him. Nothing's hard for him. And praise be to God, because he's love, and his love is that immense. I believe in that love to have me ruling and reigning with him and have me glorified together with him and have me, praise be to God, his glory forever and ever and ever. I believe God is love. Amen. And we thank the Lord in who God, in a sense, should be. He should be the everything of it. Well, he is. He's everything of love because he's God. And praise God, we have been given that faith. And brothers and sisters, this is the whole purpose for every believer to fully see this. It's for every believer. Matter of fact, the Word of God says it's really, truly for all men. I would that all men be saved and come to the full knowledge of the truth. But yet we know this is something so rare. We'll talk about it a little bit more on Sunday about how rare it is. We were right over there in 1906 with Brother Copley, weren't we? Isn't that something? I was thinking it wasn't 1907, it wasn't 1905, it was 1906. When that Holy Ghost was poured out, it was for a purpose. It was for the latter rain. And when that Holy Ghost was poured out in the early rain, it was for a purpose. It was for the early rain. And I know that's R-A-I-N, but we know it's R-E-I-G-N. That Holy Ghost was poured out because Paul's gospel was coming. And that latter rain, let me tell you something, that Holy Ghost was poured out because Paul's gospel was going to be quickened again. Because brothers and sisters, that laid very still for a long time. And as I was rejoicing, how many thousands were filled at that time in 1906 from coast to coast. But how many were quickened in Paul's gospel at that time? One. One wrote of it. One was given that. Just like the early rain, there was the Holy Ghost, and one was given that message, the Apostle Paul. Here we are. Oh, thank God. The privileged Timothys of this day. You better know it. Praise God. And here we are almost at the end of it. And remember, as Paul said at the end, all in Asia who had heard it, who had loved it, they have forsaken me. I think we're getting back to that time in the latter rain, aren't we? The love of many waxing cold. I have one thing against you. You've left your first love. How many thousands have heard it? How many thousands have been through here to hear it? How many in here are hearing it? But are we ready? Ready. Believing in this grace. Praise be to God. That's why we're here. Now, this is beautiful, brothers and sisters, because Paul's first prayer that we rejoiced in to these Ephesian saints, it began with that encouragement in verse 15. They had full potential because they had faith and love. And they had love to all saints. And I thank God when that's where everything is at. The products of pure grace are faith and love. It's the truth. Faith and love. Pure grace, you get both. You get the fullness of it. And you understand as you go on with the Lord, the word of God is true. Faith worketh by love. You will not believe in the deep things of God without that love. You can't be led into the deep things of God without the one that takes the love of God and sheds it abroad in your heart. That's the Holy Ghost. Because he is the one that takes you, yea, into the deep things of God. He's the one that brings you into all truth. But see, without the Holy Ghost and without yielding to the Holy Ghost. Yielding. Amen. Without that fullness of the Holy Ghost in your life, you may know something in the Word of God, but you're not in love with it. And when you're in love with something in the Word of God, and you're in love with the Word of God, you'll be in love with the people of God. You will. Because that's where the Word lies, in the people of God. So we thank the Lord for these evidences that we have. And this is that we would have this faith and love, and it would be growing, praise God, even more passionately in our hearts, that we would be even the more in love with grace. And I'll tell you what, you fall in love with grace, that's how you'll believe all the word of God. Because you won't be looking to anything else. You'll believe in the power of the grace of God. You'll believe in the purpose of the grace of God. Now, as we read on, what we're going to see here is it's all about the eyes of our understanding being enlightened. See, you must see these things. You must have eyes to see and enlightened eyes of understanding by the Holy Ghost to know these things, to know his purpose and the purpose of his grace. And the purpose of his grace for us who believe, you know, is to marry his son. Praise the Lord. He wants you to come into that place, praise God, of the spouse, the readied wife, praise God, that is taking her place right now, ruling and reigning with him forever and ever. This is the mystery that was hidden, but praise be to God, it's now been made known to us, isn't it? Amen. It was revealed to the Apostle Paul, it tells us for us. The riches of the inheritance that is in us in Christ from beginning is the very purpose of grace that God desires his ecstasy. All creation was made, praise God, for it to come into its fullness. Do you realize that everything that's going on is causing and helping and supporting us to come into the fullness of Christ, to be filled with all the fullness of God? And it takes all of these things. It takes all of that pressure to make a diamond. It takes all of that cutting, praise God, to set that stone. And we thank the Lord if any of it was missing, any of it, brothers and sisters. And that's externally and internally. We would have missed it. Wonderfully and fearfully made for him. A life that's been strewn, praise God, with the before ordained good works that we should walk therein. The God that tells us about those before ordained good works that we should walk therein, those are all things work together for good to them that love God. As I trust God with everything in my life, because he's told me, trust me with everything in your life, because I'm working it all together for your good. Amen? Because why? We love God, and because we love God, we are the called according to his purpose. And I believe we've just been rejoicing in his purpose, which is his purpose of grace, for some time now, which we understand and know very well is the bride adorned. So thank the Lord and rejoice in it, brothers and sisters. In grace, praise God, we cannot lose. Hallelujah. That's a fact. Now, as we continue on here to know this purpose, to marry his son, to rule and reign with him forever, this mystery that was hidden, the riches of his glory, the purpose of his grace, hallelujah, everything made for it. Yes, it was all for and about us in grace, us in Christ. Let's go ahead and read verses 15 through 23 of chapter 1 of Ephesians. Wherefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all saints. See how that quickened Paul? I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. And here is this first prayer. How glorious. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. See, I thank God. We see that there is more. These are precious saints. They love the Lord. They were filled with the Holy Ghost. But they had not yet received this enlightenment of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. That the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know it, what is the hope of his calling, And I think how rare that is in churches today. You walk in there and they say, we want you to know what your calling is, your gift is. They have the little cards to fill out so you can think about you instead of you understanding the word of God and to be thinking about him and to understand what the hope of his calling is for your life. Because that's the only thing that'll ever give you all peace and all joy in believing him. But that your eyes would be being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance is in you, in the saints. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe. Back to us again, we believe this. According to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ, whom he raised from the dead, set him at his own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Oh, thank God for this. It's overwhelming. It really is. This is overwhelming. If you just allow the Holy Ghost to open your heart and your ears tonight, the plan and the purpose of it all, of us in Christ, it's just unbelievable. But it's believable because it's the Word of God. And at times, let's be honest, we've been in a place where we wonder why and how. Well, that's what verse 19 is all about, what we just read. It's all about the provision of the power that we have. The power that's been given. See, he didn't just give us a plan and set us here. He didn't just give us a plan and a purpose and set us here. He didn't just give us a plan, a purpose, and the provisions and set us here. He gave us the plan, the purpose, the provision, and the very power to accomplish it, praise God, in us, because we are his workmanship. This is none of our doing. This is all by faith. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And thanks be to God that this is what we hear. And it gives me that faith, and I believe him. And I believe in him, and I believe in the hope of his calling for my life. And I believe in his accomplishment in my life. I believe of him and his workmanship in my life. That he will and do of his good pleasure in my life. That's how magnificent grace is. And I thank the Lord in that grace, praise God, in his foreknowledge, he chose us. He predestinated us. He's even given us our inheritance, praise the Lord. And I thank God for the power of the Holy Ghost to live believing it. Not trying to get there, but thanking God by his grace, he placed me there in him before the foundation of the world. Hallelujah. That's rest. That's peace. And I thank God we're wrapped in this incredible ultimate power of the Holy Ghost. But yet if we're still too overwhelmed and we doubt, how can it be? How could it be the likes of me? I'd say tonight, by the grace of God, let's let the Lord settle it once and for all. God help me to get over myself. To quit living in drama that I love with me and begin to truly be a mature son and say, thank you for what you have finished. Right here in verse 19 and 20. What is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe? Do you believe him? And I'm telling you, the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. Which what? What power is he talking about? Which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead. that power and the power that didn't just raise him, but set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. And it didn't just set him at his own right hand. What did it also do? It endued him with everything, far above all principality and power and might and dominion. You're talking about fully reigning power. The same power that was given to our precious Lord and Savior that raised him, hallelujah, that set him in the throne, that gave everything of every dominion to him, full reigning, praise God, was all by the Holy Ghost. There's a pattern, and it's the same pattern for us. And thanks be to God, the Lord showed us, because Jesus, very God of very God, he was made a man. And as a man, this is what did this. As a man, this is what's going to do this. Praise the Lord. Oh, I thank God. Hallelujah. I can believe the word of God because he shows it to me. The Holy Ghost over and over and over and over and over. He does the work. This is the power of his might. We just read it's the power of his resurrection. It's the power of his love. God loved his son and God loves his son. That's the Holy Ghost power. That Holy Ghost power is full of nothing but love. And that love's going to raise my son to me. That power of his love, the power of his grace, the power to us who believe, all according to what? His mighty working power. This is the power that's working for his purpose. This is the power that's working to us, the called according to his purpose. This is the power, praise God, that's working in us, the very purpose of his grace. And there's never been a power like it. As a matter of fact, there is no other power but it. Things look powerful, but they have no power but from him and of him. And this is the power, praise God, that he has freely given fully to us. Oh, God, help us to believe this. Now, how much are we going to let the power of the Holy Ghost work in our lives? That should be the easiest answer we ever give. Oh, Lord, I want it all. I don't want parts and pieces. I just want it all. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. All the way, all the love, all the truth. Not rejecting or wavering in it a bit. And there it is in those words. Do you see those words? The exceeding, where it says the exceeding greatness of his power. Do you remember when we did the study on the hyperbolo grace? Remember hyper grace? Grace beyond grace, beyond the above that, and exceeding above that, and then above, and exceeding infinitely above, and above that. You can never quit describing how above it is, because there's no limit to hyperbolo grace. That word exceeding greatness, that's it, hyperbolo. It's found 5 times in the Word of God, grace, 5 times, all in Paul's epistles. All speaking of this exceeding grace to us. That's just exceeding beyond and beyond the exceeding. And exceeding beyond that, and exceeding infinitely beyond that, but it's infinitely above the infinite, beyond that. I know it just sounds, but there's no end. And it keeps increasing and increasing at an increasing rate. Just like the Lord shown us how his creation has been set forth. So we thank God for it, don't we? Hallelujah. And this is what's so beautiful here, that we have this grace beyond exceeding, above all grace and above and beyond even the more. This is how the Lord assures us, brothers and sisters, that we have it all in him. We have it all. And we have all the power. There's nothing limited in that Holy Ghost power. It raises us over everything. 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 There isn't anything that we'll ever experience that the Holy Ghost is not able to superabound us over. Matter of fact, superabound us in. Amen? See, that's what grace does. Grace lets you lock into the love of God. The love of God and its plan and its purpose and the knowledge of the love of God. An understanding that it truly is, as Paul said, I glory in my infirmities. I glory in them. See, Paul, if I take out those things that you wanted different about your life or you didn't want in your life, son, with all the revelation of this knowledge that I've given to you, you'd be puffed up. You would think that you transformed so much that, you know what? I'd begin to see you afar off, Paul, because you would begin to get proud. But because my workmanship is perfect, I made you perfectly needy for me. And now, Paul, by the grace of God, you're being enlightened in your eyes of understanding to appreciate me in a way that you could never appreciate me. Because I love you so much, honey. I had to divinely put these weaknesses in your life. I had divinely put these things in you. Or as I gave you this truth, son, you had been exalted and you would have not looked to me anymore. Do you get it? And he said, oh, do I get it? I glory in my infirmities. I glory in them. Oh, when I am weak, then the power of Christ rests upon me. Oh, thank the Lord. As he embraced them and he said, oh, thank you, Jesus. I am what I am by the grace of God. And that wasn't just for all the accolades they threw at him. I am what I am by the grace of God completely. I'm made for the grace of God. That's what vessels of mercy are made for. To go boldly to the throne of grace. To obtain mercy. Praise his name. So we thank the Lord and we're enriched in understanding that we do have all his power to fulfill it all to win him. Turn on over to 2 Corinthians 9:14. That's 2 Corinthians 9:14. Remember I told you about those five times hyperbolo grace is found, all right? Well, this tells us where all that hyperbolo above and beyond all grace is, all right? That's even beyond that, and it's infinitely beyond that. And, you know, it tells you where it is. And I'm going to tell you, it's not somewhere afar off in heaven and afar off all over here. Let's read 9:14 together, and let's find out where this is. And by their prayer for you, which long after you, for the exceeding grace of God in you. And there's that word exceeding, hyperbolo. The hyperbolo exceeding beyond infinitely beyond that, and even more infinitely beyond that grace is in you. It's in you. Why would it not be? The life I now live, it's because Christ lives in me. I now live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So as this life of Jesus grows up in my life, that faith, praise God, is the faith of the Son of God. If it'll grow up fully, it'll have the immensity of that same faith because it is the same faith because it is the faith of the Son of God. I've gathered with ones, praise the Lord, that are beginning to rest just like Jesus did. I don't think Jesus worried, did he? I wonder if the Father's going to raise me from the dead. I think Jesus told him real clear and distinctly, 3 days, honeys, 3 days. I'm going to rise again. How confident are you in the Holy Ghost in your life? And I'm not saying as though I have apprehended, but I understand what grace does. Grace gets it done. Grace finishes it. Grace will perform it all. And I believe in that same power that he says, I've been given all that power, the same power to raise me. I'm expecting, hallelujah. I'm not fretting. I'm not wondering if I'm going to be ready. I'm ready. I'm believing grace. I'm ready. I'm believing, praise God, in the same Holy Ghost power to raise me at that moment of the trumpet. It's the same power that's going to do it. And by the grace of God, it has to be the same faith. The same faith. The faith of the Son of God. The faith that Jesus had in his Father. Oh, Father's going to raise me. Father's going to seat me right together with him. Matter of fact, I believe that it was Jesus, wasn't it, that told his disciples, you know what? I've got to go. And I got to ascend to my Father. But, and I don't want you to fret, because see, if I don't ascend to him, I can't send you this power. This power that's going to do the same thing that it's done and going to do with me in my life, what it's purposed to do for you. Isn't that just incredible? Oh, I thank him for this. Faith in the Holy Ghost. Turn on over to Romans 15:13. Romans 15:13, it says, now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. Amen? I want all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. See, the hyper grace, if we will just trust it and be confident in it, it gives us all joy and all peace in believing. Hallelujah. Be full of the Holy Ghost. Be full of the Holy Ghost. Ones that are full of the Holy Ghost. I think of Stephen. That was a man full of the Holy Ghost. And he wasn't startled. He wasn't fretting when they seized him to kill him. Uh-uh. Oh, no. And then, oh, by having that full power, by having that yielded heart of confidence in the grace of God that was with him, he was able at that moment to look up and he could see them standing. Standing. And by the grace of God, I hear these things and I look up and I see them standing. The power of the Holy Ghost and the fullness of the Holy Ghost will have you abounding in believing. I thank God when there's times in our lives as Christians, and Christians that really know this truth, we begin to doubt, be fought. Pray in the Spirit. Begin to just pour yourself out on that altar. You need that quickening. You need it all the time anyways, I'll assure you that. I thank God. I thank God to praise him all day long in the Spirit. I don't even know what to say to him anymore. I don't have the words to tell you how I love you, Jesus. I don't have the words just to even express anything. I don't know what I should be praying for right now, but I sure feel like speaking to you. So the Holy Ghost got to do this. Praise his name. Ephesians 6:10. Think of this, brothers and sisters, going over there. Ephesians 6:10. It's just so mighty and wonderful. Hold on here a second. And it says there, and we're speaking here of we're getting into the whole armor of God. Paul says finally to these Ephesians, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and what? And in the power of his might, the Holy Ghost. And why? Put on the whole armor of God Put on the whole armor of God. Be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God. I love that. See, brothers and sisters, all the armor, all the believing, all the full overcoming comes one way. Be strong in the Lord, in the Word, and the Holy Ghost. We need love like a geyser just pouring through us all the time. It's all through knowing his love is the power. And that is the faith, brothers and sisters. Knowing his love to us is the power. And it's the most holy faith. It's the faith of the Holy Ghost that gives us all the power to fully overcome. It's the truth. I thank the Lord from little guys in here. Jesus loves me, this I know. For the Bible tells me so. Amen. But that's just the very, very beginning, isn't it? But it's all based upon that, and it never changes from that love. And then as we go through Ephesians, and when we hit the third chapter, you talk about the masterpiece of grace. The masterpiece of grace knows the love of Christ. Every bit of it. Every bit of it. Not thinking about it, knows it. Confident in it. And the only way that that comes forth in a life, brothers and sisters, is the fullness of the Holy Ghost. That's the follow-through power. That's the spirit and truth. That's the truth in love we grow up into him in all things. Amen? That's why I thank God over and over for how I was taught in the truth. Following Paul as he followed Christ, it's truth and love, honey. It's truth and love. You don't have that Holy Ghost in there and that quickening and stirring up the Holy Ghost, you'll have truth, but you'll grow cold. You'll grow critical. You'll start picking on one another. You'll see things dry up. I thank God for the love of the truth in here. I thank God for the truth and love in here. I'll tell you what, it quickens our children. Our children, by the grace of God, quickened in the Spirit, it quickens us. These coals, hallelujah, they continue to light up one another. That's how this goes, hallelujah. This is what the Holy Ghost does. And that's what all grace did for us. It gave us the faith. It gave us the greatest of faith. It gave us the most holy faith. Grace knew us in beginning. Grace chose us and predestinated us. Grace's plan gave us the faith and the faith of the Holy Ghost, faith to believe him when he tells you, praise be to God, you're my wife. I love that. I'm the spouse of the Lamb of God. Hallelujah. What do you think the wife hath made herself ready is? I was thankful to God. I got to testify to that to two different saints this week. Hallelujah. I said the same thing to both of them. Never forget the moment she allowed those bracelets to get on her and those earrings to be put on her, that Rebecca, she was married. She was no more married, praise God, when she saw Isaac lighting off that camel than when she said, I do, I will go at the moment at the well. She just grew in the appreciation of her husband. She was going to her husband the whole time. And you know what was so sweet? I got sent just today out of the blue. This sweet passage again of this man that's a rabbi, but he'd become saved and just really see some sweet things in the depth of the truth. But how that woman, when the dad was going to bring out the son for marriage, he would bring him forward, and it would be the woman that would take him. And when she said, I would take him, that contract was signed. Can't remember what the Hebrew word is for that. Tammy, if she was here, she'd shout it out to me. But she knows it, and you know it too. It's bridegroom. But she would be married. And she would just abide that wife while he would go away to prepare the place, to come back to retrieve her, to bring her to. And I just said, Lord, thank you. Thank you. Thank you, my husband. Hallelujah. But do you hear him say, you're my desire? Are you like that Shulamite? I am my beloved's and his desire is toward me. Are you that confident? That's okay. Matter of fact, it's mandatory to be his bride, his wife. You need to be confident, not in you, in his grace. Grace has done that for you. Grace has placed you there. God willing, on Sunday, we're going to read that verse before the foundation of the world. You're going to find another meaning of foundation. It'll either thrill you or embarrass you. Maybe it'll do both. But it's coming because it's time. I said, Lord, can I really tell these people that? You're going to tell it to them. Because these are the thoroughbreds. They're his. They're my thoroughbreds. Hallelujah. Now let's close this up. The same power that raised Christ Jesus from the dead, from being made sin for us, the same power that raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand and put everything under him, that same power raises us, brothers and sisters. And it raises us over all things. And it will raise us into the throne with him. And we have the faith in that grace. And he gave us it knowing it would not be in vain. That's why in Philippians 3:10, before it gets to 3:11 about the out resurrection, that I may know him in the power of his resurrection. And when you know him in that, you know what you're going to know him in? The fellowship of his suffering. You know it. And then when you know him in the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, you surrender. You submit. And you're conformable even unto death. Because you know what? If by any means. I ain't going second. Not in this one. No way. When I get the moment to see my bridegroom's face, it's not going to be delayed. If by any means I might attain to the out resurrection. Right? Jesus didn't worry. I mentioned it earlier. He didn't worry about being raised into the throne. He knew and was assured. Let us have that same full assurance of believing that that same power will raise us to him, a wife, in his throne, in fullness of glory. Hallelujah. And all I can say is, Jesus, praise be to God, we're going to come and meet you soon. Amen? Amen. That is a happy Thanksgiving, praise his name. Jesus, just give you sweet times tomorrow if he tarry. And God willing, we'll gather again on Friday. And if not, in the air sooner. Let's stand, be dismissed. Praise God.